We'll take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, 17th verse, as we continue our study there. 1 Corinthians 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. But the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let's pray together, please. Most gracious Heavenly Father, that we do praise Thee and thank Thee. Thank for the visitor You sent our way, and we thank Thee for each one in attendance, and pray Your mercies be upon us, everything be done to Thy honor and glory, that You'd have mercy upon us, that You'd have mercy upon the lost, as well as the saved, O Lord, that You'd meet the needs of each one. And we look to Thee, the Lord, and thank Thee for Thy many manifold blessings, and pray everything be done again to Thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray these things for His sake. Amen. Preaching of the cross, title of message, considered renaming the message, Don't Cross the Line in Evangelism. We see many that have crossed that line. Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is trying to correct some of the division we mentioned last time in the Corinthian church. And we addressed that which ones baptize you and essentials of the faith of the saints, of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And so who baptized you doesn't make your salvation better or worse. And who you idolize or who you think's the best speaker doesn't make it your salvation any better or worse. And so as we look this morning, we're dealing with the simplicity of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that Jesus died on the cross for all His people and without exception. And and those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ are doomed. Only those that are in Christ have any salvation, any hope whatsoever. Some people say they're hoping to get to heaven. They think they're on the way to heaven, and we should know we're on the way to heaven. So we think about the many professors and but few possessors of the Word of God or of the salvation. And Paul's correcting, if you will, that we don't need to speak of other things or other other men outside of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, outside of the Word of God. Sometimes people read philosophers and say, well, this is what this philosopher meant and said and so on and so forth. Well, that is wonderful, but what I want to know is what God said. And so they had these deficiencies in their preaching, and an important of the preaching of the cross is the Spirit points out the way, and it's not eloquence of speech, great illustration, cute stories, heartwarming stories, or moving with a sympathy, or embarrassment, and stories wherein one is saved. If even we should know better than often to think or use human wisdom, and sometimes that's what we see now is using human wisdom rather than godly wisdom. The saints of God should be, if you will, those people of the Word of God. And Baptists are, that is our claim, we are the people of the Word of God. And gospel preaching doesn't get the job done, then what job are you trying to get done? Preaching is supposed to point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ, and some method, if you will, of work some people add to it. Too often, the pleading sinner to come to Jesus is men's wisdom rather than wisdom from on high. The day after I was saved, I told my wife that was the greatest sermon, that was the greatest preacher I'd ever heard. And I also said, well, I thought he's all right. But I thought, how could she say that? That he was the greatest that I'd ever heard. And in reality, he is the first one I really ever heard. And the point I'm making is that all the little things that we do not make their hearing better. It might make them greater, the preacher. They might think well, I believe I'll join this church and go to heaven and such other things. But let me say to you, the Spirit of God's one speaks to the heart. It is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And we preach the resurrected Lord. Now, Paul said, He sent me not to baptize, but to preach. As we mentioned last time, and notice the preaching of the gospel is the same as preaching of the cross. The emphasis here is that what we have, or our salvation, is determined in Christ Jesus. What He did, not what we do. And sometime we get confused in that, you know, it's like the story about take one step toward Christ and He'll take one step toward you. That's not the way it is. If that's the way it was or is, then you can never be saved. Because man doesn't have that ability to really take a step toward Christ. They have ability to step toward this, that, or the other. God called to preach and not to baptize. Gospel preaching is the preaching of the cross. We don't add anything to it. We don't add baptism. We don't add membership, church membership. We don't add doing righteously, and we could go on and on and on that we things we don't preach for salvation, although they're saved by God's amazing grace, should be living a great life. They should be baptized. They should join a church. They should live righteously. They should do all those things. But let me say that none of those things will save you. It is only Jesus Christ that can save you. And that by the gospel, by His gospel. We are to preach what happened on the cross and our connection to salvation, and that it is not by a piece of wood, it's not by some kind of charm, it's not something we bow before, it's not something that we wear, it's not something we put in our cars, it is not something that has to do with any of those things. It is a personal belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that given to us by the Spirit of God. And the emphasis of the gospel, men are sinners who have no ability. And so if men are sinners and have no ability, then you can't talk somebody into heaven. You can't. You could try to. You could say, well, you know, and plead with them and all this. And Paul said he pleaded with men, and we are too. But your pleading won't get them into heaven. It is only as the work of the Holy Spirit comes forth that they see that Jesus died for them personally. That it's not just an abstract thing, that Jesus died for everybody or the whole world, as it mentions in Hebrews, or some such thing. It is when it comes to the realization that Jesus died for you. And the importance of that is you the only way that He needed to die for you is because you was an absolute wicked person. He wasn't just a little good. I thought I was a little good. I thought a pretty good Pharisee before the Lord saved me, because I was very religious, but wrong kind of religion, if you will. And the point I'm making is that you have to realize that you're a rotten, wicked sinner. And sometimes people don't want to hear that they're bad. But you are. Because there's not one thing a sinner can do that honors or glorifies God. There's not one thing, a person that's lost without Christ, there's not one thing they can do and say, well, God ought to be pleased with that. Because God's not pleased with anything if it's not under and in Christ. And the only way we can do a good work is that by the grace of God. And that which is acceptable unto God, that purchase, that perfect work, if you will, is a righteous work, and we are made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not mean that pastors should not baptize, as I mentioned earlier. No baptism is given that they should preach, if you will, or baptize. But the main focus is not baptism, it's not church membership, it's Jesus Christ. And so this is a destroyer for those who think baptism is necessary to salvation or needed to finish one's salvation that started in Christ and finished up, or that some church in some way is going to finish up the work that God started. That can't happen. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. He's not in a church, not in baptism, not in some type of ordinance, not by a sacrament or some other thing. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. The first work of salvation is professed that they have believed what they believed about Jesus Christ and themselves. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. A person that's been saved by my amazing grace will have works of righteousness, of godliness and holiness. And if you will, they'll reflect the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have nothing to profess, then you're not saved. You say, well, I believe this. I read the Bible every day, and I have my devotions, and go on and on and on. But that's not salvation. That would be a good work for a child of God to do, and I preach on all those things that you should do those things. But they don't complete your salvation. They don't give you salvation. They are a work of faith after you have been saved. Not of works, if you will. There in Romans, and this is Romans 10. Some like to use this to talk people into salvation. And it says Romans 10:10, Romans 10:9, excuse me, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's absolutely right, by the way. That profession, if you will, comes, if you will, from the new birth that God has wrought in you. That's the only way you make that kind of profession, from your heart. Because your heart is dead toward God before God saves you. Before the new birth, you have no life. And after God gives you life in Christ Jesus, then you can make a profession of faith. And remember in the gospel where Jesus says those that will not profess him, he won't profess them to his Father. In other words, you deny Christ here, Christ denies you there. He said, well, I think I'm saved. That don't matter, if you will. This is a statement of what has happened, and this is profession, if you will, that others might know what God has done for you. So for it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A dead heart can't do that. It is absolutely can't do that. It has to be a heart that's been made alive. There has to be a new man in tune with God. There has to be the Spirit of Christ within you, the Holy Spirit, if you will, working within you to make that effectual in your life. And so what God does, he takes the gospel, makes it effectual in your life. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and make a profession of faith to all that hear you, if you will. But that profession don't save you in itself. It's what Christ has done. And that is what you're speaking of, is the evidence that God has done a work in your heart, that you're truly been saved by God's amazing grace. It is not the preaching of baptism that's saved, but the preaching of the gospel. It is absolutely necessary that the gospel be preached or passed, read, looked at, instructed. Why? Because God said that's the way it is. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you never heard the gospel, you haven't come into your understanding, or never heard it, then you can't be saved. You have to, if you will, come to realize that you're a sinner. Christ came to save sinners, and he died for you. When you find out that be true, then you profess what Christ has done for you. And some like, I think it's verse 13, excuse me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And some say, well, see there, preacher. Well, they forget the next verse. How then shall we call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Yes, a saint calls upon the Lord, but that prayer doesn't save them. They already believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is those, it says, how shall they call on him whom they not believe. So if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can say, well, I'm praying a prayer here, a sinner's prayer. I'm praying this, that, or the other, and I'm going to say Jesus' name. That doesn't do anything for you. But if you come, if you will, after the new birth, then it means something, if you will. We have a new communication. We can pray to God, our Father, and He hears us. And He's not only does He hear us, but He's promised to hear us if we believe on His dear Son. Some orators are brilliant, eloquent, and persuasive in their speech, thinking that their speech and communication will save the soul, but it is the empowered gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So Paul was not an eloquent speaker. I mean, we see that several times throughout the New Testament. And we say, well, you know, Apollos, who we mentioned last time, was an eloquent speaker. And if people was calling somebody to come preach for them, that would be Apollos, Simon Peter, somebody like that. The last person they'd call was Paul, because he was not an eloquent speaker. But nonetheless, God used him to start that church in Corinth. He preached there a year and a half without any interference. And if you will, that church was founded or started by the preaching of Paul to those lost and wicked people there in Corinth. And it wasn't anybody else. God used him. He was not eloquent to speak, but God saved, if you will, that those that was added or placed in that church. And so it doesn't take that kind of preaching. A passage many use to justify persuasive words in men's wisdom is Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He said, see, preacher, those that winneth souls. Then let me ask you how you win one. I know how to win a medal. I know how you do that. You do certain things and say, well, if you do this and you come in first place, you get a gold medal. So I know how you win that. I know how you win different things in life, if you will. They say, this is what you get if you'll do this. How you win a soul? Well, the meaning here, this win a soul is wise, is having persuading people to your side of conversation. If you're a Republican, then you persuade people to be a Republican. Democrat was persuade people be a Democrat. Those that are running for office try to persuade everybody to believe and to come to them. And so they're trying to win your vote. They're trying to win your confidence and all those things. But you can't win a soul. How would you win one? How much work would it require? Maybe preaching through the Bible? Win one soul if you can preach through it? You can't win one. If there's anybody that can win a soul, that's God. And if we say that that some soul is won, that it was Jesus Christ on the cross at Calvary that won every one of them that would believe on His precious and holy, glorious name. Every one of them He won. All we can do is preach what Jesus did, what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus shall do. We can preach about our eternal life. We can preach about the joys of heaven and the grace that we have on the earth. But if there's any soul winning to be done, it is actually God that does that. You can't talk anybody into heaven. You can't preach the gospel. I used to go out soul winning in my younger years before I knew any difference. We get people down and how fast could you get somebody down saying the sinner's prayer? You say, well, Preacher, that sounds awful. We didn't think it was. Because all they had to say is say that they believed in Jesus. That was it. Well, they saved. We pronounced them saved. But had a hard time getting them in church. Had a hard time getting them baptized. So here's 20, 30, 40 people that you won to Christ. And you, if you will, you won their souls. Well, they might think you're a great person, but they don't think that of Jesus Christ. Some will come to church. Some will be baptized. Some will come and fall away. But most just don't come. Why? The souls that belong to Christ will be faithful. You say, well, you know, a child of God can backslide, and that's true. But they'll be so miserable, they'll turn back from that. There's nothing wrong with winning people on your point of view, or if you will, and those that have been saved by God's amazing grace, we try to convince them that that the sovereignty of God is true, and we believe the 5 points, not 2 points, and we can go on and on to them. We were trying to win them to our persuasion, hoping the Holy Spirit would open up their understanding as we persuade them with the Scriptures. But in the end, if the Spirit doesn't change them, they'll not be changed. There is no human power or ability that can unadorn, if you will, the gospel, what the gospel can do. What we do is only tear down what Christ did when we get outside of the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about the gospel and the gospel alone as the power of persuasion, them to truth, knowing therefore the terrors of the Lord, we persuade men, 2 Corinthians 5:11. We just don't go out and say, well, I hope if you believe, you believe. If you don't, you don't. That's not what they're saying. We're trying with all our might as far as what we can do by the grace of God to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ that they can understand. But you can't save them. Only God can do that. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, for it is written, the just shall live by faith. It is the power of God, the gospel is. Nobody's going to be saved apart from the gospel. You've got to know Jesus, know who he is. You say, well, what if there's nobody around? To me, that's just almost blasphemy. Well, there's no one around to preach to them, you know, and this, that, and the other. So, who preached to Abraham? Abraham's living out there in the land of Ur. These are all idolaters, wicked people. I don't think there was a gospel preacher out there. Somebody preached to Abraham. God preached to Abraham. The point I'm making is God's always used that method. Tell who he is. Tell, if you will, that which he expects, that they have to act upon faith. Abraham acted upon faith. He believed God. And that faith that believeth in God was counted to him for righteousness. He didn't say, I hope, I will, I'll do it tomorrow, or I'll do this, that, and the other. When God's involved, that's not the way it is. When we try to beef up the gospel by means reveals our lack of faith in God. We don't believe God can save them without our input and help. Yes, we're to preach the gospel. But when we add to the gospel, or we take away from the gospel. Today, you know, when I was younger, we added to the gospel. For I came to the truth. But now, we're taking away from the gospel. I thought I'd never live in a time when that was happening. Sinner sensitivity. Don't tell them they're sinners. Don't tell them they're wicked. Don't tell them they're terrible. Don't tell them they're following the devil. Don't tell them that they're on their way to hell. Don't tell them any of that. Just preach to them the love of Jesus. What is the first thing a person does when God saves them? First thing. He realized he's a sinner and wicked. That's the first thing. Until a person is lost, he can never be saved. And so, yes, we are to preach hell. We are to preach heaven. We are to preach the disgusting people, if you will, that they are compared to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all full of wickedness and evil, following our father, the devil. Does not say that in Ephesians. That we follow the prince of the air. Does it not say Jesus bound the strong man and went in spoil? What was that binding of the strong man? The illustration is the strong man standing at the door and nobody can go through him to get to his bounty. But Jesus bound the strong man, went inside and got his people out. And still been getting them out ever since. The devil has no power over those God's bringing out. No power. He can deceive us, he can trip us up, and so on and so forth. And preaching human wisdom makes the gospel of no effect. Makes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ of no effect. It makes his finished work on the cross at Calvary of no effect. We cannot compromise the preaching of the cross. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So Paul knew, whether he preached eloquently, where he was like a stumbling bum almost. I mean, he knew what he had to do was preach the gospel. Those in Thessalonica, they heard it. And it worked in them. And it worked effectually. What does that effectually mean? It had an effect on them. Human wisdom leaves the spirit unregenerated. Gives him a breath. If any could use human wisdom, Paul could. And he's earned a doctorate degree. But then none of them had been saved. I'm verily a man which is a Jew, Acts 22:3, born in Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. He was a Jew's Jews. First Corinthians 2, 4, and 5, and my speech, my preaching, was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Now your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you are saved, you are saved because the Spirit empowered the message. Professors of Jesus are either deceived by man's wisdom or delivered by godly wisdom. I said professors. Those that are possessed, if you will, salvation is those whom God has saved by His amazing grace. Many today, their faith stands in man's wisdom. You must be baptized. You must take a part of wafer. You must join a particular group. If you sin after being saved, then you're lost. Or sin all you want to. But that's not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the have made the, if you will, the cross a non-effect. There in the book of Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now here he's talking about those that are trying to substitute the law and add Jesus to it. But you know, anything that you have to do is a law in itself. If I say, well, just forget those old Jewish laws, we don't have to do them, but you have to be baptized. You have to be in a Baptist church to be saved. Yeah, there's Baptists that believe that. And you got to be baptized in a Baptist church in order that you seal that salvation. Somebody asked me about that one time. I said, you know, they're Baptists. I said, no, they're not. They call themselves that. And those that believe you can sin all you want to. They call themselves by different names, but they're not. They're the enemies of the cross. There are preachers that have non-effect. What they are spreading are those things that will not save but destroy. Professors in Jesus Christ are either deceived, as we mentioned before, by man's wisdom, but delivered, if you will, by godly wisdom. Sometimes we are tempted to tell stories to play on people's sympathy. Old dog yeller, grandmom's in heaven trying to want you to get there. Mother's standing at the gate with her arms wide open. If you want to go to heaven to see your mother, grandmother, or whoever else it might be, your faith is defective. If you're going to heaven to see Jesus Christ, then you're on the right road. Sometimes we are tempted to tell stories, as we mentioned, and plays on their sympathy. I've been in revival service when I was young, that half the people would be crying. And people come down and everybody say, oh, what a great meeting we had. Our church had around 125 to 150, something like that, depending on the years. Next Sunday, be 125 or whatever. Had a great revival. Many souls were saved. The windows was open and people could hear. If Christ doesn't save them, if God doesn't save them, they're not saved. Too often it comes down to this point. Preaching of the cross to them is foolish. To us is the power of God. If you have to tinker with the gospel. If you have to tinker with the gospel to get the results that you, if you will, that you need, then you think the gospel's foolish. If you got to add to it, take away from it, or embellish it in some way, then you think the preaching of the cross is foolish. Sometimes we don't think that it matters. I heard people say, well, they're getting the gospel out. Well, what gospel are they getting out? Repeat after me, say this prayer, get baptized, go on and on. When people do that, they think that the cross, preaching the cross, is foolishness. Why do people use human wisdom to persuade people? Some embellish the gospel because of the unembellished gospel doesn't get the desired results. Church is not full. They think they need to help the gospel reach more people with modern means. Now, I'm not talking about TV, radio, and gospel preaching and all this, that, and recording, and so on and so forth. If the truth is being preached, praise God. Now, I'm talking about modern methods in place of the pure gospel of Jesus Christ. They feel or think that the gospel is out of date or ineffective. As it is. It's out of the Bible, but the Bible, you know, is thousands of years old, and we kind of need to update this thing. Too often it comes down to this point. Do you think the preaching of the cross or the preaching of the gospel is sufficient? It says, well, preacher, it don't seem like it's got enough to it, just preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And each one of those, you know, you can preach a sermon on how Christ died for sinners. We could preach on, if you will, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could preach on any and every point in the Word of God and the gospel. But in the end, it is preaching the cross of Christ that counts. The so-called Christian schools spoil many. I did want to say, who convinced Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, Paul? Paul was a fine man, wasn't he? He was a Jew's Jew. Pharisee, maybe on the Sanhedrin, that's what a Pharisee of the Pharisee probably means. He's going to the Damascus Road and he getting those scoundrels, those Christians. Make them blaspheme against Jesus Christ. Fine fellow. On the Damascus Road. Somebody met him on the Damascus Road. His name is Jesus Christ. Asked him why he kicked against the pricks. Noah, the whole world was wicked, fallen. He said, well, Noah was there, preacher. It says God was ready to destroy the whole earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What does that mean? That Noah is a good person. God said, oh, wait a minute, I found one. Right here's one. He's a good guy. No. God chose Noah because he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You think you, if you're saved, you think you're somebody or something? That God looked down, well, there's George. He's going to really do good things for me. He just goes out, gets some of all kinds, not many wise, not many rich people, and saves them, and then works within them that they do his work. Colossians 2:8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Natural man thinks his gospel's foolish. Some used to add Darwinism to the preaching. You know, who would do that? Back when Darwin was popular. Back when he had, if you will, given his beliefs on the creation and all that, and said it was scientific proof, and persuaded some preachers. And so they changed the Word of God, the gospel, to fit in with Darwinism. It's gone with modern means. Then later on, it has proved to be a joke. First John 4:5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and and the world heareth them. Somebody said, well, you don't get a big following, you know, if you preach the gospel, if you preach the word of God. If you say this is what God meant by this, they don't like it. They want to say there's certain sins really don't count. We don't want to make you feel bad. We don't put you under conviction. We want you to feel good and join our church. 2 Corinthians 10:4 and 5 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what gospel does. That's what the Word of God does. And it's not with man wisdom. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. The words man only leads to hell. That's where it leads. It leads through the lake of fire. The words of life, the gospel, leads to heaven. Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Because Paul mentions that also, I think, Romans 10. What is the report? Report is of a Savior that can save. A report of a Savior that he saves in such a way that what you do can't destroy it. It can't mangle it. It can't pull you out of the hand of God. It can't separate you from God, that if God gives you that salvation, you got it forever. And I mean forever and eternity. Is not my word like a fire, as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh rock in pieces? As Jeremiah 23:29, Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because that ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us. Ye received it not as the word of men, but of the truth, and the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You say, preacher, we heard that a while ago. Good. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God is. Vain philosophy cannot do that. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now, you that profess salvation, what wisdom were you saved under? Are you just a professor and not a possessor? Or are you one to profess and possess? If the Spirit of God is not in you, then you're not of God. You're not His. And Romans reminds us that. You need to receive the if you will, exaggerate it, or if you will, parts been taken away from the Word of God. You need to hear the unblemished gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. We can't save ourselves. Jesus came to save sinners, died on the cross of Calvary for sinners, and to show that He's satisfied, that the Father was satisfied, raised Him from the dead. Seen of men, seen of several, and upon the earth for 40 days, then ascended unto heaven. This is the gospel that saves souls. The other things only makes people think they're saved.